This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The primaries are not the only big news in politics. We've got more from Capitol Hill and beyond with Democrat Donna Brazile, the author of Cooking with Grease, Stirring the Pots in American Politics, and Robert Trainum, Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief for CNA, the Comcast Network, and professor at George Washington University. Welcome, folks.
Hi, Farai.
So, Donna, let me start with you. The president is hoping that the stimulus package, with its payments of up to $600 a person, are going to fire up the economy. But how are the presidential candidates attacking this issue? What are they saying they want to see America do with the economy?
Well, I think both candidates have addressed not just a short-term problem of putting more cash into the economy, but they're also looking at long-term. How do the United States compete in a global environment? How do we retrain our workers? How do we prepare, you know, our society for a 21st century economy that is a lot more diverse than the economy of our parents or grandparents? So I think both Senator Clinton as well as Senator Obama have put forward innovative ideas to not just provide tax credits to small businesses to spur innovation, but also looking at how we improve education, how do we assist those who are in dire need of falling off or not making ends meet. For now, the Democrats have embraced the stimulus package as a short-term solution, but long-term, we have to do something about the twin deficits, the budget deficit as well as the trade deficits. We have to live within our means, and we have to ensure that we go forward with an economy that lifts up all people and not just those on Wall Street.
Robert, do you see any of the candidates putting something substantive on the table, either for the economic issues at large or for the mortgage crisis? Because we've seen some movement on the federal level to talk to lenders about giving a 30-day grace period to people in trouble. Do you see
yes.
that? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I do believe so. Senator Clinton has already outlined a pretty detailed economic proposal as it relates to getting out of a housing crunch. Senator Obama has yet to do so. Senator McCain on the campaign trail has said repeatedly that he obviously did not vote for the Bush 2001 tax cuts, but he is now for the extension of those tax cuts because he believes that in the age of economic uncertainty, the tax cuts will work. So they both have, meaning Clinton and McCain, have outlined some specific proposals, of which have been criticized. Senator Obama is a little bit short on the details, although he does talk about it on the campaign trail.
Robert, you probably have not gone on the Obama website, but Senator Obama has gone beyond the freezing of mortgage interest rates that Senator Clinton has called for. He's called upon the federal government through the Federal Housing Administration to look in these cities, look at how the foreclosure rates is disproportionately hurting these communities. He's talked about the subprime crisis and what it has done to devastate the minority communities. So there's no truth to the fact that Senator Obama has some thin record on this when he's been very specific. And, in fact, he's in Wisconsin today talking about the economy, talking about how we stem the tide of jobs being taken overseas and how we deal with not just the subprime crisis, but how we deal even more in this broad new global economy that we're all a part of.
I appreciate that, and thanks, Donna, for the reminder. I did go to Senator Obama's website, and if you do take a look at it, you're right. He does talk about the economy, but as it relates, if I could have finished, as it relates to Senator McCain as well as Senator Clinton's plan, they're much more specific than Senator Obama's.
Let me turn to another issue that's really...
Senator McCain just recently had to say on Meet the Press that perhaps he needs a tutor, and he was going to ask former Senator Phil Graham to help him understand economic issues. And then he said he might have to read Alan Greenspan's book.
All right, Donna, I've got to throw another topic in, and I'll toss it to you again first. Senator Obama has been increasingly embraced by black voters who seemed a little skeptical at first. There's always this question of whether or not, if he's elected president, he'll be caught between a rock and a hard place. Some African-American civic leaders might say, you got to serve our community. And other citizens might say, hey, aren't you that non-racial, everybody's in that together guy? In the case that he wins president, and it's certainly still anybody's race, do you think he will be caught between Scylla and Charybdis on race?
I think we're underestimating the political maturity, not just of the African-American community, but the white community in this country and Latinos and others. We have, for so long in our history, put people in a group identity box, thinking that when they see black, they vote black. When they see white, they vote white. That's not the case. What you're seeing today in American politics, especially on the Democratic side, is that people are excited about what Obama is offering them. And I think what black voters are saying is that, yes, we like what he's saying. We like what he's proposing. We believe that he is going to be a president for all the American people. This is not about electing a black president or a white president or a female president or anyone else. It's about electing a president who understands the enormous challenges this country faces in the future and the things that we must do as citizens of this great democracy to pull our country out of the mess that we're in across the world. So I think Obama has shown and demonstrated that he's not the black candidate. He is running to be the Democratic nominee in the fall. And African Americans have shown enormous political maturity, but so have whites, who have given him overwhelmingly their vote of confidence as well.
Robert, he has done very well among white voters, particularly last night. He also said this is the new American majority. This is what change looks like when it happens from the bottom up. He's running better economically among higher income voters. Is this really a bottom up question?
It is, and you're absolutely right. I mean, Senator Obama, the breadth of his victory last night was breathtaking. You know, he exceeded every single income group. He also exceeded every single quote-unquote label group, if you will, African-Americans, Latinos, older individuals, senior citizens. So he is overperforming, if you will, in those groups, which goes back to Donna's point, and I agree with her, that the American people are very savvy, they're very sophisticated. And also, to keep in mind, Senator Obama does not talk about race on the campaign trail. He doesn't inject it. He doesn't invoke it. So when people listen to him and when they see him, they see presumably the Democratic nominee for their party, not necessarily someone that's running for president because he's black.
Donna, what about Senator Clinton's campaign shakeups? The person who warned her not to compete in Iowa has stepped down. Mike Henry, how is she doing in terms of leadership on her campaign?
Well, you know, I think she's in a bit of a pickle right now, having bypassed states that could have given her more delegates had she had a ground game to go with the terrific air game, which is, you know, a way of saying that you cannot just advertise your message. You must also deliver it to the people directly where they live, where they eat, where they play, and where they pray. I've been involved in enough campaigns to know that shakeups can be a good thing. But in the case of Senator Clinton, what are they shaking up and why? I think they're shaking up a very stagnant campaign that didn't plan for any contest post-Super Tuesday. And the fact is that we still have over 1,100 pledged delegates or earned delegates at stake, about 400 undecided, undeclared superdelegates like myself. I'm a superdelegate. I make no bones about that. And I think going forward, she has now set down a marker to beat Obama by winning in two states, Texas and Ohio. Now, it may come down to Pennsylvania, and Robert knows that state very well. And if Senator Clinton can't win one, she's in trouble.
When you look at this race, you can see, Robert, that there's a lot of wrangling over identity and how it plays out, loyalty. Several Latino leaders say that Patty Solis Doyle took the hit for losses that Bill Clinton may have caused on the race issue, and she was the former leader of the Clinton campaign. Could this cause some bad blood between Latinos and the Clinton campaign?
Possibly, although I don't think it's that deep. You know, if you take a look at the Clinton campaign, Farai, you can do a circular firing squad and everyone would be guilty as charged. There was a lot of things they did right and there's a lot of things they did wrong. If you take a look at the financial angle, if you take a look at the grassroots angle, everything they did wrong is catching up to them now. Senator Clinton was in Texas earlier this week where she spoke in front of a large Latino crowd. The Latino crowd there specifically has said that they will embrace Senator Clinton. The reason being is because she has a long history with the Latino community, at least in Texas, but also nationwide. And they're very skeptical of Senator Obama because he does not have that history with Latino Americans. So the real question is whether or not Senator Clinton can get at least 60% of the vote, Latino, African-American, white, in Texas and Ohio. Here's why. She needs that number in order to keep up with the delegate game. If she does not, she is in deep, deep trouble. She's in deep trouble now, but moving on to Pennsylvania, as Donna mentioned, I do know something about that state. And that's a state that's very similar to Ohio in terms of its blue-collar background, in terms of being in economic distress. That's why the Clinton campaign is saying, we're just holding our fire. You just wait until you see what we have in Ohio and Pennsylvania. It's a risky strategy for I because they're putting all of their eggs in one basket, and it's all or nothing for them.
Donna, finally and very briefly, please tell me a little bit about Maggie Williams, who takes over the Clinton campaign top spot.
Meg is a friend. She's tenacious. She's very disciplined. She's very organized. I think her primary function at this point is to take everyone out of their Northern Virginia headquarters and send them down to Texas with a one-way ticket. That will motivate them to work their butts off for Senator Clinton and help her secure enough delegates to catch up with Senator Obama.
Well, Donna and Robert, thank you so much.
Thanks, Fry.
Thank you.
Donna Brazile is a Democrat and author of Cooking with Grease, Stirring the Pots in American Politics, and she joined us by phone. Robert Tranum is Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief for CN8, the Comcast Network, and a professor at George Washington University. He was at NPR's Washington Bureau.